Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
In the last hour, the Senate averted a government shutdown, passing a stopgap funding measure through September. Two Democrats, Senators Angus King of Maine and Jean Shaheen of New Hampshire, joined all but one Republican, Kentucky's Rand Paul, in approving the measure. Earlier today, 10 Senate Democrats helped Republicans to advance the bill to final passage. The move came after Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer stunned progressive Democrats last night when he said he would vote to advance the funding measure. Schumer's decision triggered praise from Republicans and outrage from Democrats, including New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is reportedly being privately urged by some of her colleagues to primary the senior senator from New York come 2028.
I think there is a deep sense of outrage and betrayal. And this is not just about progressive Democrats. This is across the board, the entire party.
Kicking off the first minute or so for another tally on the win side of this Donald Trump presidency and returning America back to its America First agenda. Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I'm your host, Cicely Davis. Super ecstatic to be with you. A sunny, sunny day here in Minnesota. Ecstatic to have you join me. If you're new to the channel, I extend a very warm and sunny welcome to you. Thank you so much for making a decision to give me a chance and to tune in to hear my perspective and for you to just think about it and ponder and share yours. I ask you this too. Tell someone else about the show next time. Come on back, bring somebody with you. For those of you who have been joining me for a while or maybe just last week and you're returning, thank you so very much for your support. I appreciate you. I honestly would not be interested in doing this without you. It means absolutely everything to me. I have an ask. For those of you who are new or returning, and it is this, to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and on YouTube. And like I said, winning, winning, winning in this Donald Trump presidency, putting America first in this agenda. Republicans are winning, and Americans are winning again with this averted shutdown of the government. The averted government shutdown is a clear victory for Republicans and for the American people. It's showcasing our commitment to fiscal responsibility and protecting taxpayers' hard-earned money. That's what Donald Trump is committed to. That is the mandate given to him by the American people. He said he would do it, and he is absolutely doing it. And we have a front row seat to witness him doing exactly what he said he and vowed to do by negotiating a funding agreement that prioritizes border security. It prioritized military readiness and essential services while reining in the wasteful spending of my tax dollars, of your tax dollars, of your neighbors' tax dollars, your friends and your family, your neighbors. My goodness, Republicans have upheld their promises to limit government overreach and ensure that taxpayer dollars are used efficiently. God bless this president. This outcome reflects the priorities of conservative values, advocating for a stronger national defense, secure borders, and a government that operates within its means. Ultimately, by avoiding a shutdown, Republicans have demonstrated effective leadership and a dedication to delivering results that benefit both the economy and the safety of American families. And who isn't all for that? The recent turmoil within the Democrat Party has become evident. It's evident they are mad, mad, mad. They are infighting. It's all torn apart. There's nothing but chaos and turmoil as top leaders like Chuck Schumer has found himself siding with Republicans on key issues, particularly the passages of the spending bill to avert the government shutdown. Now, I am no fool. I don't by any means believe that Chuck Schumer is actually on the Republican side. I believe that he thought he was being strategic, and he was. But that ultimately, this was the right thing to do. For us as Americans to side with Republicans, it's best for the American people, that decision. But also, it was a good decision for Democrats because he is right. It would have been dire for him to not agree and have the government shut down, especially coming off the horrendous behavior that they put out for Donald Trump's speech to Congress, right? This rare display of bipartisanship I'll put that in air quotes, is a clear indication of the fractures within the Democrat ranks as progressive factions continue to push for more expansive government programs, while other Democrats, fearing a shutdown and its impact on their political fortunes, align with Republicans. And that's what it really is all about. We have a lot of Democrats who are there. It's their time is up, right? Midterms, it's time for them to go again. And they're being mindful of that. They're being mindful of their constituents. And they want to be able to go back home and say that they did all they could to work with Republicans, because they're all about, you know, unity and keeping people together and not shutting down the government, right? They're just simply trying to keep their jobs. The vote to keep the government open was a strategic move for both sides, as I said, but it also underscores the ideological divide within the Democrat Party that has only grown more pronounced in recent years, particularly since Donald Trump has been in office. Now, Chuck Schumer's decision, along with other Democrats who vote with Republicans on the spending bill, speaks volumes about the internal strife plaguing the Democrat Party. Now, you have on one side far left progressives, you know, the AOCs, the Ilhans, the Tlaibs, this Jasmine Crockett, the Ayanna Pressleys, and so on, are demanding massive spending increases and social policies that some in the Democrat Party, like Schumer, are willing to support, even as they clash with more centrist factions within their own ranks. Now, this divide has made it difficult for the Democrat Party to present a unified front on critical issues, leaving their agenda stalled, stagnant, and undermining their ability to govern effectively. And they haven't been able to. I mean, we're just coming off 4 years of disaster, 4 years of incompetency, 4 years of corruption and scams, right? And we're coming off 4 years of inept leadership. Now, Schumer's move is seen as a concession to Republicans' fiscal restraint, which is why so many Democrats are absolutely ticked off with him right now, reflecting his willingness to prioritize avoiding a shutdown over his party's ideological disagreements. Now, this is the very thing that has the Democrat Party torn apart in the first place. Okay, this situation is a win for Republicans and the American people, I might add, as it highlights the inability of Democrats to manage their own party's divisions. And believe me, there are many, many horse trail divides. Okay. Republicans have long argued that fiscal responsibility and limiting government spending are essential to America's future. They've been saying this for a while. We've known it for a while. With many Democrats being forced to collaborate with Republicans on the spending bill, it is clear that the party's far left wing is out of touch with the broader needs of the nation, which is what we have been saying for a while, and that factions of the Democrat Party, like Schumer, are recognizing the importance of working across the aisle. Now, that being said, let us not become complacent and think that Schumer is on our side. Again, this was a strategic move on his behalf, right, to make sure that the American people maintained some kind of positive view of Democrats. Okay, this cooperation undermines the narrative of a united Democrat Party and strengthens the Republican position in the ongoing debate over government spending. Ultimately, this moment serves as a reminder of the ongoing turmoil within the Democrat Party and the growing rift between the ideological factions. Now, while Republicans continue to advocate for smaller government and fiscal discipline, Democrats are finding it increasingly difficult to present a unified front. Okay, their party's turmoil is spilling all in front of everyone, right there on stage, right there in front of the media, all on TV. They're interviewing, they're talking, they're on podcasts, and they are literally just ripping each other apart right in front of the American people's eyes. With their party split, it's becoming more challenging for Democrats to pass sweeping legislation without Republican support. Let me say that again. It is becoming increasingly more challenging for Democrats to pass sweeping legislation without Republican support. They simply need us. This dysfunction benefits the American people, of course, who are increasingly frustrated by partisan gridlock and government instability. The American people want less government, and what little we have, we want it to work, okay? The bipartisan vote on the spending bill shows that even amid a divided Congress, Republicans are effectively pushing for solutions that prioritize the American people's interests and putting that first. Now, as I said, the turmoil, the chaos, the divide, it is spilling all into the media. And that goes without saying that with the MSNBC, they are talking about it right out there in the open. Of course, being absolutely ticked off right now. He's not popular right now, his leadership with Chuck Schumer. Okay. So MSDNC is upset with and about Chuck Schumer and others for supporting this spending bill. Simone Sanders Townsend says she is leaving the Democrat Party, and the Tea Party for the Dems was born when Chuck decided to prevent that shutdown. Let's take a look.
This is really a black mark, I think, on Chuck Schumer. You cannot signal on Wednesday that you want to fight, and then on Thursday you cave. And so now Republicans know that all they have to do is play Democrats and it'll work.
$1 billion cut from Washington, D.C. I'm a D.C. resident and I'm pissed.
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, there's actually little that the Senate minority leader can say and the 10 Democrats that voted with the Republicans can say to appease somebody like me. I'm about to change my registration to independent. First and foremost, there's not another option for Senate or Democratic or Senate Democrats or House Democrats to effectively push back. This was it. They blew it. The Democratic Tea Party was born the same day that Chuck Schumer took to that podium to read that very well-crafted statement that told us he folded like a paper napkin.
Well, and that's why you have, members of the Democratic caucus privately encouraging Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to primary Schumer.
Anyone can primary him.
Now, let's be honest here. Okay, this is, after all, the savage truth. Let's tell the truth. Chuck Schumer may not be a friend to the Republicans, and he absolutely is not. Let's not ever forget that. But the idea, the very idea that AOC could somehow take his Senate seat is downright ridiculous. Yes, Schumer is part of the establishment swamp, and his recent deal with the Republicans on the spending bill shows just how far removed he is from the average voter. But AOC, are you kidding me? She's a media darling with no real grasp of the complexities of governing. And she's far too divisive to have any hope of winning over a state as diverse as New York. Now, the far left base might love her, right? She might have some control or still some say in her little district, right? But the rest of the state isn't exactly looking for a socialist firebrand to represent them. Get that through your head. While Schumer's not winning any popularity contest by any means, okay, at least he knows how to hold his own in Washington. He can actually put a cognitive thought and sentence together. AOC, on the other hand, she's better suited to making headlines than making policy. If the Democrats think that they can trade Schumer for an AOC, they're sorely mistaken. It's just simply not happening. And that goes also, I must say, for Jasmine Crockett, who has been, I think, trying to emerge as certainly as a new squad member, but also perhaps a new younger leader for the Democrat Party. Goes the same for Ayanna Pressley or a Tlaib or an Ilhan Omar or any other wannabe squad members. Neither of them have the gumption. They don't have the muster, the chutzpah to run the Democrat Party or be that leader. Either way, it remains another Democrat problem and not a Republican one. And we're moving on. Now, we need to talk about Donald Trump with this Aliens Enemies Act, okay? This Alien Enemies Act, which I think a lot of people aren't quite sure or have some questions about it, was enacted as part of the Alien and Sedition Acts in 1798. And it has a long history in the U.S. law and was designed to give the president broad powers to deal with foreign nationals deemed threats to national security. And that's what we're dealing with currently right now because of the previous administration. The law allows the president to detain, to expel, or restrict the activities of foreign nationals from countries that are at war with the United States. And if you are a country who have opened up your prisons to some of the worst offenders, rape, murder, trafficking, okay, violent crimes, and send them across our border, then you are at war with the United States, period. The origins of this legislation trace back to the political and security concerns of the late 18th century when the U.S. was navigating tense relations with France and there was fear of foreign influence and espionage. The act has been a tool used during times of heightened national security concerns, including both world wars, to protect the nation from potential threats posed by any enemy nationals. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but in 2020, President Donald Trump actually invoked the Alien Enemies Act in a move that garnered significant attention. Right. The decision to enact the law was primarily driven by concerns over national security, particularly with regard to China and other countries believed to be engaging in espionage or influencing U.S. politics. Right. So he had every intention, he had every right to do so. This marked the first time the law had been invoked in decades. Now, there is an enemy within. It's beyond ridiculous that a judge with no real authority over matters of national security attempted to block our President Trump from enacting the Alien Enemies Act. Let's be crystal clear here. Crystal clear. President Trump is the head of the executive branch. Judges do not make laws. Judges follow laws. Donald Trump, as our president, has the constitutional authority to protect the nation from threats, especially when those threats come from foreign enemies. A judge trying to stop the president from doing his job is an insult to the very system of government we have. You want to talk about a real constitutional crisis? That is the very definition. The Alien Enemies Act is rooted in the Constitution, and it gives the president the power to take action against foreign nationals who pose a threat to national security, our national security. It's not some executive overreach. It's a legal, necessary action to keep America safe, to keep Americans safe. No judge, absolutely no judge, should be able to override that authority, especially when it's for the good of the country.
Well, developing this morning, a federal judge is blocking a new order from President Trump to deport some immigrants that the White House says are members of a Venezuelan gang. Now, as Bradley Blackburn explains, the order invoked a rarely used law dating back more than 200 years.
As President Trump waved to supporters leaving his West Palm Beach Golf Club Saturday, a federal judge said one of his orders may be out of bounds. In a proclamation signed Friday, the president declared the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua is invading the United States and ordered the arrest and deportation of its members without typical due process. The president cited a 1798 law called the Alien Enemies Act, which has been used only a few times in U.S. history, including during World Wars I and II. But Saturday, a federal judge in Washington blocked deportations with a 14-day restraining order. He said planes already in the air carrying deportees should turn around. In a statement, Attorney General Pam Bondi said the judge, quote, supported Tren de Aragua terrorists over the safety of Americans. The president is testing the limits of his authority on immigration. On Friday, in an unusual visit to the Department of Justice, Trump shared his approach.
And they said, no, people that come into our country are all wonderful people. No, they're not wonderful. These are stone cold killers. These are killers like they make our killers look nice by comparison.
The AP reports the Trump administration will pay El Salvador $6 million to hold members of the Tren de Aragua gang in its notorious prison. The deal would cover about 300 alleged gang members for 1 year. Bradley Blackburn, CBS News, New York.
Well, in his proclamation, President Trump said the gang is aligned with the Venezuelan government.
The fact that a judge in a time of rising global tensions. What tried to block President Trump's use of the Alien Enemies Act shows just how out of touch and political the judiciary has become. Why would anyone want to turn a plane around full of criminals, murderers, rapists, high crimes, and drop them back into the interior of our country? When our country faces real threats, whether it's from China or Russia or other foreign powers, the last thing we need is a judge standing in the way of the president's ability to act swiftly and decisively. This is not a time for legal games or political maneuvering. It's a time to protect America's interests. And that means letting the president do his job without interference from biased judges who clearly have an agenda of their own. Right? What makes this even more maddening is the fact that we have a political party led by the Democrats that seems more concerned with protecting violent, illegal aliens than protecting American citizens. It is always with them, America last. The progressive far left has shown time and time again that they would rather defend criminals and disrupt the rule of law than put America first. These judges appointed by the left are acting as activists, not actual judges, not acting as those who are supposed to uphold the law, are doing their bidding by blocking actions meant to protect the country, all while the Democrats cry about fairness and justice for people who shouldn't even be in the country in the first place. This is nothing more than a political charade that undermines the safety and security of the American people. And we need to talk about the real enemy here, okay? The progressives, the far left Democrats, who are doing everything in their power to tear this country apart. They are so obsessed with pushing their radical agenda that they are willing to sacrifice the well-being of the American people. And we're simply not having it. They're more focused on protecting illegal aliens and violent criminals than they are on defending law-abiding citizens. It's sickening. It's maddening. It's infuriating. Their constant attacks on President Trump's authority, their refusal to acknowledge real threats, and their obsession with an open border are putting the nation and American lives in jeopardy. The greatest enemy this country faces is no longer foreign. It's within our own government. The radical left is working from the inside to destroy the fabric of this nation. And it's time we face that truth, that savage truth, head on. It's absolutely infuriating that in the middle of this chaos, we're still dealing with judges who think they know better than the president when it comes to national security. These are the same judges that are out there protecting illegal immigrants who have no right to be here while they try to block the president from using a legal and constitutional tool to keep our country safe. It's clear. It is clear that their allegiance lies with the radical left, acting as activists and not with the safety of the American people. If President Trump can't rely on the judicial system to back him up on something as critical as national security, then we've got a serious, serious problem on our hands. And at the end of the day, this isn't just about Trump versus a judge or even about the Alien Enemies Act. It's about the future of America. We are fighting not just foreign adversaries, but also our own government, which has been hijacked by the far left and their destructive agenda. We got to get them out of office, folks. The Democrats and their radical supporters are trying to turn America into something unrecognizable. This fight is no longer just about politics. It's about the survival of America we know and the America we love. If we don't take a stand now, we risk losing everything. The enemy is in our own ranks, and they're working overtime to destroy the nation from within. Luckily for us, we have a brave, fearless president and a competent cabinet and the administration that will carry out the mandate of the American people to put America first. And finally, Michelle Obama's flop of a podcast. So Not sure if you heard, not sure if you watched. Considering the numbers, more than likely you have not. Michelle Obama has teamed up with her brother, Craig Robinson, for a new podcast. Here's the advertisement.
I am Michelle.
And I am Craig.
And Craig here is my big brother. He's done a lot of everything in life, business, coaching, basketball, television. He's always been one of the very few people I can turn to whenever I need just about anything.
And you all know my sister Michelle, or Mish as our family has always called her.
We are so excited for you to listen to our brand new podcast. It's called IMO with Michelle Obama and Craig Robinson. Together, Craig and I are going to take your questions about the challenges you're grappling with in life. Because let's be real, we are living through some really complicated and confusing times, and people are feeling more alone than ever. But what I've learned is that if you're feeling a certain kind of way, the reality is that others are probably feeling that way too. And when you take the time to be just a little vulnerable and open up about it, it's a whole lot easier to find the answers you're looking for.
Every week, we'll be joined by some of our friends, special guests, and experts who will keep us honest while also adding their own opinions to the mix.
Whether you're navigating the gray areas of marriage and raising kids, or dealing with a little friend drama, or even figuring out how to put yourself out there in the dating world. And I want young women to just practice asking for what you want. It's okay to hear no. It's okay to hear I don't love you like that.
There's nothing to be bored of. If you're a mother and you're watching your children every moment that you look at them, it's like unbelievable what's happening.
And look, we're not saying we have all the answers either. Far from it.
But we do have plenty of opinions, don't we?
You sharing your weakness makes you strong. Like you being able to tell them, I went through this, I found help, and I've come out the other side.
Like it's one thing to say I want to achieve this for me. And then there's another thing to say I want to achieve something because I'm expecting all of this to come with it.
One of the most difficult things to do is realizing that relationships have their limits. There are relationships that simply are not gonna function.
I'm a boss. Are you okay being the
Can you level up? Can you level up? And then he's running away going,
he's aggressive.
So get in touch, send us your questions, and join us every week
on IMO with Michelle Obama and Craig Robinson. Subscribe or follow on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So what's the next letter?
Thank you so much. Yeah, okay, give me a... Yeah, come on.
Let's go. Michelle Obama and her brother Craig Robinson's new podcast, IMO with Michelle Obama and Craig Robinson, has hit a rough patch right out of the gate. Released on Wednesday, the first two episodes of the weekly podcast struggled to even reach 30,000 views in 20 hours, which is, for Michelle Obama, right, a disappointing number given Michelle Obama's fame and influence. The podcast, which was supposed to be an exciting new project for the Obama family, clearly missed the mark with a large segment of the audience. Critics on social media, they were quick to point out the stark discrepancy between her massive media exposure and the lack of interest in her podcast. For someone who's been the face of progressive politics and championed numerous causes, it's hard to ignore how little traction her show has gotten. Now, the lack of attention has sparked a heated debate on platforms like X, with many questioning why such a highly promoted podcast isn't connecting with a larger audience. The episodes, which are nearly an hour long, have been criticized for failing to capture the audience's attention, especially in an era where online attention spans are shorter than ever. And I quote someone on X, "Nobody asked for this." One user commented, echoing the sentiments of many who felt that Michelle Obama's brand of politics is simply not resonating with the average American. And we know that from the results of the Donald Trump presidency election, right? Where 72, almost 73% of American electorate wanted him, not Kamala Harris. One user even went as far as to say, "Nobody wants it. We have all heard what she believes, and nobody wants the America that she wants. It's pretty simple." Others suggested that the podcast might be better suited for a Punishment podcast, highlighting the general lack of interest in hearing more of the same political rhetoric or takes on life from a woman who has spent years lecturing the public and how they should live. Here's my conclusion on this. It's clear that Michelle Obama's podcast is struggling to generate the kind of buzz and support that she's used to. And seeing the lineup of the pre-shows and some of the celebrities she's had on there, you know, these aren't people you want to hear from. A lot of them we saw that Kamala Harris was using on her presidency trail, you know, we're just simply not interested. And for good reason. The American people have grown tired of hearing from elites who live in ivory towers, lecturing the rest of us on how to think, live, and vote. Michelle's political views and her take on life, rooted in progressive ideals, simply don't align with the values of many Americans who want to see a country focused on common sense, individual freedom, and less government interference. And considering that there has been talk, as I talked about in my last couple of episodes, about the Democrat Party seeking a new leader, and I believe Michelle Obama was that voice that was one of the names that was floated, I would say with the reflection of the amount of viewers for her podcast, I would say she's out. Okay. The fact that her podcast has barely scraped by 30,000 views shows that the public is growing weary of the same old tired political narratives and empty celebrity-driven content. This is something that the Democrats just don't seem to pick up. They're just not picking up on it. We're not interested. The American people are hungry for change and authenticity, something Michelle Obama's brand of left-wing establishment rhetoric just doesn't provide. And although it seems that she and her brother are covering a wide array of topics, not just politics, I think it's the message here that's important. Michelle Obama represents what used to be. She represents an America and a perspective of yesteryear, of the past. No one is interested. No one is listening. No one's tuning in the opinions or the perspective and the conversation or the optics, okay? Considering her name was floated as a possible leader again, I think it's safe to say she definitely won't be the face. And that, my friends, is the savage truth. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.